Right, good morning. Welcome again. My name's Tim. Who are you following? I don't know which social media platform is favored by you, but who are you following? On Facebook or Instagram or maybe even Strava? Who are you following? Maybe you're one of the millions who started following Emma Raducanu after her incredible win at the US Open last Saturday. Apparently, she had a relatively small following, initially only 400,000 followers beforehand. She now has 1.8 million. But why do we follow? Most often, it's to keep up with family and friends. You're following them because you're interested in what they're getting up to. Or maybe you follow someone because you're inspired by them. Maybe they have helpful insights to share, insights into an area of your life that's really interesting. We might also talk about following a diet or following a particular lifestyle. Why do we do that? I guess it's because at some point someone has persuaded us that that is the right thing or the worthwhile thing to do. But why would you follow Jesus? Who was he? Who was this man? He preached with authority. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He calmed a fierce Galilean sea storm just by telling it to stop. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He claimed to forgive sins, something that only God could do. Who was he? And what is my response? What is your response to him? Well, there were a number of responses. Some were amazed, some praised, some were terrified at his power. Some chose to follow, others plotted to kill. Some responded in faith, and others refused to believe. So this morning, 2 questions for us. What will it take for you to follow Jesus this morning? And 2, what will it mean for you to follow Jesus this morning? As we get to the next part of Mark's gospel, we see that Jesus' message, the message of the kingdom of God, is spreading, but not all respond in faith. I've asked James to come and do the reading for us. So if you want to be looking up in your Bibles, Mark 6. Mark 6 is on page 952. And James is going to come and read verses 1 to 13 for us. Thank you, James.
Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in their own towns, among their relatives, and in their own homes are prophets without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few people who were ill and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith." Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave, and as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed with oil many people who were ill and healed them.
Thank you, James. So firstly, Jesus' message was heard and understood by those who knew him best, but not believed. They were amazed by Jesus, yet they had no faith. Verse 2. Jesus went back home to Nazareth. He walked along the streets where he'd grown up. He saw old friends and familiar places. Perhaps he popped into the bagel shop on the corner, and on the Sabbath, he went into the local synagogue and started to teach. And what an interesting response. Amazement. They were amazed at his teaching. He spoke with authority. How did he get this teaching ability, they said? How can he proclaim these things with such certainty? It's as though he's speaking the very words of God. And look, he's doing all these miracles. But, verse 3, isn't this just Jesus, Mary's son? It's just Jesus from down the street. We know him, we know his family, we know Jesus. Who does he think he is, speaking like this? You'd imagine, wouldn't you, that faced with the authoritative teaching of Jesus, the incredible wisdom of Jesus, and the awesome power of Jesus, that the obvious response would be to turn in faith, to respond with trust and with worship. But what was their response? They were offended. They thought it was scandalous. Who does he think he is? What would it take for them to trust and follow? What extra evidence were they hoping for? Why would they not believe? It was because, it seems to me, that they had left no space for faith. Jesus was very familiar, perhaps overly familiar, to them. So they said, he can't be anything special. It's just Jesus, after all. And they were unwilling to see the evidence of his supernatural power, and they rejected him. Verse 4, Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house, is a prophet without honor. And the sad thing here is that, in a sense, the less they believed, the less was revealed. Do you see that, verse 5? It says he could not do any miracles there, except heal a few people. Jesus' power was displayed more as people reached out in faith to him. They saw more of him as they looked to him in faith. It wasn't that Jesus was somehow weak or limited in himself, but he worked miracles when people turned in trust to him and asked for his help. As they reached out in faith, he reached out in power. And here in his hometown in Nazareth, there were few that responded in faith, so few miracles were seen. And did you notice, as James read, the different sorts of amazement? Verse 2 says they were amazed. They were amazed at his teaching and his power, yet they did not believe. But then, verse 6, Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. We don't often read about Jesus being amazed. Notably, though, he was amazed by the Roman centurion's faith, which we read about in Matthew 8:10, when he believed that Jesus could heal just with a word and from a distance. And he was amazed here at lack of faith. Faith where you least expect it amazed him. But when there was no faith where you most expect to see it, that amazed him too. So what will it take for you to become a follower of Jesus? Have the stories of his miracles and his teaching just become over-familiar? Do you have space in your view of the world for the supernatural? What will you do with the miracles? How do you explain his teaching and his claims? What more evidence are you hoping for? And what will your response be? Secondly, Jesus' followers are sent out with his message, but not all welcome or listen to them. And we're now moving into verses 7 to 13. The message is on the move. Jesus did not find faith in his own neighborhood, but the message didn't stop there. Jesus gave his disciples the task of spreading the good news of the kingdom. He sends them out with clear instructions and a clear task. Firstly, verse 7, he says, go together. Don't try to go it alone. There are no lone rangers in this work. You need at least one other person to go with you. Secondly, be confident. Do the work of the kingdom with the authority that Jesus gives you. Verse 7 again. You can be confident in this task. You can be confident in this message that changes lives. Why? Because it's not your message. It's his. It's not your power. It's his. And it's not your authority. It's his. And then 3. Pack light, verses 8 and 9. Pack light. At this point, my family will probably smile, because packing light is not something that the Rao family are good at doing. If you see us pre-holiday packing the car, you would maybe look and wonder whether we were actually moving house. Jesus says, travel light. You're not just here to accumulate more stuff. You have a job to do, and this job needs you to be responsive. Have what you need, but be prepared to be mobile. Don't get bogged down with stuff. And then, fourthly, keep moving, verse 11. If a village rejects the message, Jesus says, then move on. Followers of Jesus will not be universally popular. Sometimes they will not be welcome. Sometimes people will not listen. But there are others who need to hear, and sometimes you will need to move on. So verse 12 and 13, the disciples went and they preached that people should repent. Demons were cast out, and the sick were anointed with oil and were healed. And today we have the same message of repentance, the same authority over evil spirits, and the same power to heal. There is still today a spiritual battle against the powers of evil. Ephesians 6 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The presence and power of evil is real. Demons are real. They are real spiritual beings, and they are still opposed to God and to his people. But we still have the power and authority of Jesus to drive them out wherever they have a hold. And there is still a work of healing for Jesus' followers. James asks in James chapter 5, verse 14, is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Perhaps there is a bit of a sting in the tail in these verses. Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard the good news about Jesus. You've heard that he asks you to follow him, to build your life on him, and to have him as king over your life. But maybe you have stopped listening. I think there's a warning here. The disciples didn't carry on preaching to people who weren't listening. They moved on. The message was taken to others, and that village was left behind. So this morning, don't be left behind. Don't switch off. Don't scroll past. This message requires a response. Will you trust Jesus and build your life on him? What does it mean for you to be a follower of Jesus? It means you have a task, you have a role. You're not the boss, he is. You're an employee, not the employer. You don't get to say how it is, but he does. And he sends you out. Have you heard the phrase armchair supporter? This is what the Urban Dictionary has as a definition, which I found somewhat amusing. An armchair supporter, a person, usually a 40-year-old man, or a 14-year-old boy, who claims to hold great knowledge of their chosen club and acts like the assistant manager when, in reality, they watch all the games on Match of the Day, or if they are lucky, they can go to their nan's and watch it on Sky. Jesus sends you out. Will you get involved? Or will you become an armchair Christian, knowing all the stuff, critiquing the players on the pitch, but never joining a team and never playing in a match? As a follower of Jesus, will you get involved in the work of the kingdom? Will you speak and pray and heal and join the fight against evil? Will you go with others? Go together, says Jesus. Maybe you could, on a really practical note, maybe you could look at the different options that there will be for small group studies with others in the church. So together you can be encouraged in the work that Jesus has given you to do. Together you can pray for your friends, for your family, your neighbors, your colleagues. Or maybe you have space in your week to join a team here at the mission that reaches out. Or maybe you could be involved with encouraging younger Christians to grow in their faith. Jesus sends us out. Let's get involved and be part of his work. Let's pray. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Lord, as followers of Jesus this morning, you have given every single one of us work to do. Help us each to listen this morning and to follow your lead. Show us how we can be involved in your work of spreading the good news about Jesus. Thank you that we can be confident because this is your message and we go with your power and authority. Amen.